Acts chapter number 3. And I appreciate the message we heard last week about going over by Brother Goddard. And a tremendous message. And it is available on our website. You can check that out when you get home. And I know that you, if you weren't able to be here for the actual message last Sunday, that you will be blessed by the recording of it. Acts chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. And if you would read with me. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. This morning we're beginning a new series for the next few weeks. And the title of it is simply Stretched. Stretched. As I was looking at what I want to talk to you about, I thought of the ways that we get stretched in life. Sometimes you get stretched financially when the bills start coming in. Sometimes you get stretched emotionally, either when good things are happening or when you're going through difficult times. Sometimes God stretches you. And when God stretches you, He does it for a purpose to help you to grow. And so we're going to be, in the next few weeks, going to be talking about stretched. This morning I'm going to be talking about I'm up for it. I'm up for it. I'm ready for it. And turn to somebody and just say, I'm ready for it. Ready for it. Whether you are or not, I'm ready for it. We're going to pray, and then you can be seated following the prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege of opening your word. I pray that you will challenge our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you will speak into where we're at as individuals today. Lord, that you would touch each one, challenge all of us. Let this be the grounds right here for a miracle today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, and you may be seated. Stretched. A while back, my physiotherapist had got me to do some exercises for a back injury, a back problem. And most of them were stretches. You might have had to do those kinds of stretches. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about then. When I first started doing them, I checked myself out to see how I could touch my toes. I'm not going to try it right now. But at first, I couldn't quite make it. But after a while, and after stretching for a few days and weeks, it wasn't any problem. Some of the stretches were, when I first started doing them, I could feel it, everything stretching. And then what I discovered is it got easier as time went on. But then as with most of us, there would be some times that I'd be traveling or something and I wouldn't do them as rigorously as I had been doing them. And then that first day back, you know, I can do this easily. And then you discover that it's not so easy anymore. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about that? You know. Okay? It's not so easy anymore. The stretch is beneficial. It helps. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how God stretches us to grow us. And how God uses uncomfortable, inconvenient times in our lives to show us the strength that He's built into us. That we don't simply grow in the time of blessing, we grow in the time of stretching. And that God works within our lives, and that your strength is in that stretch. How God works in you to show you what you can become in Him. So let's go to our text. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are coming up to the temple as they had many days before. It was not a new occurrence. It was not a place they were not familiar with. They were there all the time. They're walking into the temple about 3 in the afternoon. And there they found a paralyzed man, a lame man, being carried to the gate and left there to beg. Now, they didn't have social programs like we have today. They didn't have disability programs. And most often, those who were disabled were left to depend on friends and family or to beg. And it was called alms, as the King James talks about it. He was there to beg for money from churchgoers. I don't know if that's a good place to beg for money or not. And there are two sides to this story. There are Peter and John who are up, and there's the beggar who is down. Peter and John up, beggar down, and often in the things that we go through in life, you discover that we are on both sides. Sometimes you're up, and sometimes you're down. Sometimes you're the one being stretched to help, and sometimes you're the one that is stretching up for help. We find ourselves in those kinds of situations in our lives. And so whether you're up or down today, whatever the situation is in your life, I'm hoping that by the time that I'm finished today, you're walking out of here and saying, I'm ready for it. If it's reaching out to help somebody, I'm ready for it. If it's reaching up to receive help from somebody, I'm willing to admit that I need help. Sometimes that's the toughest struggle of all for us. I need help. When the church first started, in order for the gospel to spread, it was necessary for the apostles and the disciples to be stretched. They were stretched in all kinds of different ways. Peter was stretched on the day of Pentecost to stand up in front of a hostile crowd and begin to preach. He was stretched. When the gospel began to move beyond simply the Jewish nation into the Samaritan people and the Gentiles, again, they were stretched. You see, being Jewish, they thought that God dealt with the Jews because they were God's people. God wouldn't deal with Samaritans or Gentiles. And often what is thought in our culture carries over into the church. Let me just stop up here for just a couple minutes. The prejudices that we have in our culture are a part of us as we come into the church. And sometimes God has to stretch us beyond what our background is and what our cultural views are to stretch us to become what God wants us to be. You know, I'm thankful for this church because we are not a white church or a black church or an Asian church or any kind of, you name it, we are just the church. And God brings us together. And sometimes when people first come, that stretches them. But God brings us together into one body. And sometimes there's stretching that's involved in that. There's a changing of mindsets and attitudes. God stretches us. He stretched the early disciples. He stretches us. For God's purpose to expand, God's people have to stretch. We have to move beyond where we are. And so, think about the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus was walking the earth with his disciples, he constantly stretched them. He'd reach out and touch a leper while they're saying, hey, nobody touches lepers. He talked to a woman who was a prostitute. And the disciples are saying, hey, Jesus, wait a minute now. She's not worthy. And you remember the story of how Jesus told his disciples, boys, we've got to go down to Samaria. And they were thinking, we don't go to Samaria. We don't talk to them. Because Samaritans, they're less. We don't like them. We don't know them, but we don't like them. And the Jews would go way around Samaria. When they traveled from one side to the other, they wouldn't go through. They'd travel around, but Jesus said, I've got to go through. Because there was one woman there who was messed up. There was one woman there who had problems that Jesus said, I've got to go through Samaria because I want to talk to her. And the disciples ended up going into Samaria looking for food, being stretched the whole time. And then imagine, Jesus has got a whole crowd on a hillside listening to him, and he looks at his disciples and said, guys, you know, we need to feed them. And the disciples said, well, Master, we don't have any bread. And it would take more bread than we could possibly imagine to feed this crowd, a crowd this size. And Jesus, you know, Jesus, he says, well, go and see how much we got. We're going to feed them. Now, I don't know about you, but that would stretch my faith. Thousands of people on a hillside, they come back with a few loaves and fishes, a boy's lunch. Nobody had planned to stay for a picnic. A boy's lunch, and Jesus looks at them and says, okay, I'm going to bless it, we're going to break it, and you're going to carry it, and you're going to give it to them. You talk about stretching. I'm sure the disciples were looking at each other and saying, okay, there's enough here, not even for us. This is going to be easy. You see, God stretches you into the miraculous. God stretches you to dare to believe that He can do above and beyond what the natural says can happen. He stretches. Now let's look at back at our text. Peter and John going to church, going to be stretched. They're walking by a beggar. They probably walked by him many times. Maybe they even knew his name. But this time, they're walking by. They've been promised by Jesus that they would have power when the Spirit came on them. And now Jesus would demonstrate his power. Look at verse 4 in the New Living. Peter and John looked at him intently. I don't know if that might have just seemed a little awkward for the beggar. Two guys walking in on their way to church. He's begging like he has every time. He's seen them go by before. But all of a sudden, they're standing in front of him. That looking intently means they were staring at him. You know how you feel when somebody stares at you? They're looking at him intently. And then Peter, evidently he wasn't looking up at Peter and John. Peter says, look at us. Hey, look at me. We're looking at you. You look at me. Eyes. And the beggar still doesn't know what's going on. But then in verse 5, he's got one thought. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. Wow, this is my day. Because if they're going to look intently at me, and if they're going to ask me to look at them, they must be going to bless me with money. And then, Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold to give to you, I haven't got any money for you. And you can bet right there that some of the eagerness in the lame man was gone. I think there probably was a little bit of him that was saying, okay, no money, move on. Paying people coming by. Don't stand in the way. But Peter said, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk. When the man saw Peter and John, he asked them the same thing he asked everybody else. And Peter said, look at us. There's a principle. And that is, if you will give God your attention, God will always exceed your expectation. If you will give God your attention, your focus. See, how many times do we come into church and we got our minds, our focus on everything but God? How often do we pray, but we're thinking about our shopping list and we're thinking about what we've got to do tomorrow instead of focused on God? But if we will focus our attention on God, He will always exceed your expectation. You see, sometimes we get so focused on what we don't have to offer. It would have been easy in Peter's place to walk on by saying, I don't have any money. I'll just keep walking. And sometimes we focus on what we don't have when we miss the opportunity to use what we do have. God manufactures opportunities within your life to show His power. So Peter and John reach out, take Him by the hands, and in the name of Jesus they say, rise up, get up and walk. And instantly he jumped up and he begins to walk. Not only that, that man who was about 40 years old, not only does he begin to walk, but he begins jumping and leaping and praising God. And no doubt there were those who were saying, hey, it's the temple here. But you see, he was excited. And there's something about it when God is at work within your life. That it's a time of excitement. And I, you know, we say, well, I'm not emotional. Yes, we all are. We show it in different ways, but we're all emotional. And worshiping God is an experience where I'm coming to God and I'm saying, God, you have done so much for me. This guy got emotional. And heaven help us that we ever come to the place, whether you've known the Lord for a week, a month, or 6 years, or 60 years, that there's not something emotional that strikes us to say, God, you have done so much for me. Amen. He's praising God. He's excited. And then everyone who saw it was astonished at the miracle that took place. He was challenged to reach out. He was challenged to be able to accept. Peter and John were challenged. And there's some things about the story that I want to show you for the next few moments. Because what it took for this guy to get healed, there's some things that it takes us in God's kingdom. First of all, I want to talk about the partnership. Acts 3 starts out by telling us that both Peter and John were on the scene. Now, Peter was the most outspoken of the apostles. He was brash. He was bold, except for when he was accosted by a girl. But he was the guy. He would, you know, Peter was the guy that would speak up when nobody else was. He was the guy that, as Brother Goddard was preaching last week, he would jump out of the boat when no one else would and walk on water. And then John, from what we see, was likely quieter, more reserved. He was not the kind of personality that Peter was. They were going up together. John was the apostle of love. Peter was just in your face. They're walking up to the place of prayer. And they balanced each other. You see, God brings us together with people who are not like we are. How many of you are a little bit shy? Would you raise your hand? A little bit shy? How many of you, a stranger is just a friend that you're going to meet right now? How many of you are like that? Okay, some see? We are different. And yet God brings us together, not so that our differences clash with each other, but so that our differences complement each other. So that as we work together, you know, we need the person who never met a stranger who wasn't a friend. But we also need, you see, in Peter and John's case, Peter, he's right out there. He's willing to speak up. He's willing to step out. John, a little more reserved, the guy who loves. But I wonder what would have happened if it had been just Peter. Or if it had been just John. Because John, the kind of more reserved, kind of shy guy, may have been saying, I really have compassion on this guy, but I just don't want to step out. And Peter, on the other hand, may have been willing to step out, but not have the compassion. And Peter and John coming together had that mixture of stepping out and having compassion to be able to look at this guy. And you notice it's all Peter once he starts talking? I think perhaps John was content to just stand back and say, I can push Peter towards this, but he's going to do the talking. And we understand not everybody's going to want to stand up in front of people and talk. Actually, for some, they say it's one of the biggest phobias that people have, public speaking. To stand up in front of a group of people and talk. And then there are other people that, hey, give me the mic. Like, I'm in. No problem. We complement each other. You know, it's the same way in marriage. Husbands and wives are meant to complement each other. Now, there's two ways to spell compliment. One is to spell it with an I in the middle, which means that you say something nice. And the other is with an E in the middle, which means that you fulfill each other. And in marriage, we're different. You ever notice that opposites attract? And those things that draw us together are things that we have differences, but yet we complement each other and we work together. And we are not each other. Do you know how many times I've been trying to get my wife to preach? She can. She preaches to me. But her worst nightmare would be standing up here and speaking. We complement each other. And the dynamic was in the differences between them. We learn from each other through our differences. And it takes a real partnership with people who are different than we are to accomplish God's work in the kingdom. That paralyzed man, he had partners. There were friends or family members who every day carried him to lay at the gate. He wasn't getting there by himself. People were carrying him to get there. And it didn't matter how much people helped him. He needed more. He needed a partnership with God. And it's important to be partnered with people around us. But it is even more important that every one of us be partnered with God. You see, his friends would carry him there. But there came a time when he had to get past being helped. And he had to move into being healed. Brothers and sisters, There are so many things that humans can do for us. But there comes a point when we have to move beyond being helped by people and move into being healed by God. There comes a point where our earthly partnerships are great, but we need to move into that heavenly partnership that says, I need something more. I need a miracle. A divine intervention in my life. In a sense, the help that he was receiving was hindering the healing. Peter spoke to him. Maybe Peter and John were together because Jesus said, if two or three agree together as touching anything, it shall be done. But he stretched out his hand, and God's power met human paralysis. He stretched out his hand. I don't know if anybody had ever tried to heal this guy before. But Peter stretched out his hand. And when he stretched it out in the name of Jesus, God's power met the paralysis. And God's power prevailed. Turn to somebody beside you and say, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Can we realize that God's power is present when you call on the name of Jesus? That when you speak His name, it doesn't have to be in the church. It can be on the way to work. It can be at work. It can be at home. It can be in the morning or at noon or in the afternoon, at night. But when you speak His name, something begins to happen. God's power. God's power. God's power begins to intervene. There was the partnership. You know, I came across this next thought, and I'd never thought of this before. But if you're going to be stretched, and if you're going to allow God to work in you, you've got to be on the right path. The right path. Now, I've read this passage many, many, many times. It never stood out to me. Where did this man park himself? Brother Brent, you ever thought about that? Not really? Brother Randy, you ever stop to think about that? Think about it. Where did he park himself? He parked himself by the door where people were going to church. I want you to think about that. Because where you park yourself has a lot to do with what you're going to get from God. He wasn't parked outside the bar. He wasn't parked outside the club. He wasn't parked outside the shopping mall. He parked himself by the gate beautiful, even though his situation was ugly. He parked himself by the gate beautiful, right where people were going to pray. He said, this is where I'm going to be. And there's something about it when you realize that you're a lot better off parking yourself where people are going to pray than parking yourself where people are going to play. If you don't remember anything else in what I'm saying, I want you to get this. Because when you get hooked up with the right people in the right place, you see, you can't get the right partners if you're not on the right path. He was on the path of people who were going to prayer, and he was immediately healed. He'd been lying there for a while. It had been years that he was coming there. But he was in the path of people who were connected to the one who could heal him. I don't know why God doesn't heal us immediately. I don't know why God times things as he does. He does. But the one thing I know is that when I need my healing, that when I need my touch, I need to get with the right people and I need to get in the right path. Hallelujah. Because even when I'm powerless and even when I can't do anything for myself, if I put myself on the right path, I can connect with somebody who can touch God, and I can connect with God Himself. He had some severe issues, but he put himself on the right path in the right place. And there were people who stepped over him day after day after day. They were missing an opportunity to see a miracle. I wonder how many times people had stepped over this guy. I wonder how many times Peter and John had walked by. But sometimes your greatest opportunity for a miracle is in that something that you're stepping over. Peter and John looked at him that day with different eyes. He wasn't even asking for the right reason. When he asked the disciples, when they stopped, he was asking for money, not a miracle. I don't know if I'm going to preach or teach here, but there are sometimes people who come to church for the wrong reasons. You say, well, they're not coming for the right reason. There's a key there, though. Coming. And this man was not looking for a miracle that day. He was looking for money. He wasn't expecting to get up and walk. He just wanted a few bucks for bread. He was looking for the immediate and not the long term. And I wonder, I know that there are no doubt some of you started going to church for the wrong reason. You know, sometimes people start going because there's somebody that they're looking at and saying, hey, they go to church and, you know, I like them. And so I'll go to church. Wrong reason. There are some people that go to church because their husband or their wife has nagged them enough to get them to church. And we say, well, that's not really the right reason. But here's the thing about it, is that God can take the wrong reason and turn it into the right relationship. God, you know, somebody can walk into church and say, I'm coming because I want money. I need some help. And that's not the right reason to come to church. But God can take it and speak into a heart. And we need to be careful that we don't judge people's motives for why they come to church. But we realize that when they're in the house of God, they're with the right people in the right path. And when you're with the right people on the right path, that you're in the place where God can do a miracle. A miracle. A miracle. He wanted one kind of change and he got another. He wanted something to get him through the day and he got something to get him through life. Stretching. Peter and John had to stretch. The lame man had to stretch. Third thing I want you to notice about this story is the high price. The healing was free. The obedience was costly. At the time of the story, Christianity was viewed as a cult. And when Peter and John attributed what happened to Jesus, things began to get dicey. The crowd expected them to backtrack on it. It put pressure on them. This can't be a Jesus thing, not this. Sometimes if you want to grow, you've got to be willing to accept the price of progress. That there's a cost. And until we decide that the reward is worth the cost, we'll never grow. Sometimes it means that you make different decisions than the people around you. There's a cost to it. Sometimes it means that the easy way is not the right way, and there's a cost to it. We have to make the decision that the progress is worth the price that it costs. This man's life was changed. Sometimes we want the change and we want the power, but we don't want to pay the price. And that for that man, his lameness was all he'd ever known. He was moving beyond his comfortable. He began to shout and praise God. First, you know, it was just one thing to stand. Can you imagine? He reaches out. Brother Andy, come here. I don't usually do this. I am not going to be long. Come up here. You're young. You can sit on the floor, right? Good. Yeah, right there is good. And he's never been able to use his legs. And a guy comes along and says, look at me. You look up at him. He reaches out his hand. And first you're wondering, what on earth does this guy want? And your legs have never been able to hold you before. Now, if you're him, do you want somebody pulling you up? Your legs don't work. You don't know what's coming. He reaches down and he says, I don't have any money, but in the name of Jesus, get up. And our natural inclination would be, who, me? I can't walk. But for some reason, he managed to hold on to Peter. And Peter began to pull. He stood up. And you can imagine as he looks down at his legs that are now holding him. Look at your legs. He looks down at his legs that are now holding him. And he says, you can imagine, he's probably wobbling a little bit because when you haven't walked in your life, your balance is a little bit off. But then he stomps. He stomps. And they're still holding him. And he does a high step. Wow, you are high stepping. And I've never been able to do that before. And his mind is still saying, I'm a lame man. You know, that's what your mind does. You see, his body was healed, but I think there was still a little something. Because you see, he begins to leap and praise God, but then it says he came back and He came back and he just grabbed on to Peter and John. There we go. I thought I was going to be in for a bear hug right there. He's holding on to them. Could it be because his body is healed, the miracle has happened, but his mind is still catching up to what God has already done? Thank you, Brother Andy. And sometimes God does things in our lives and God does the miraculous, but it takes us a while before our minds catch up to what God has done within our lives. You know, when God sets you free, you are not an alcoholic anymore. You are a child of God. When God sets you free, whatever defined you before, that's not what you are now. You are now a child of God. And when the enemy comes and says, this is what you were, you need to remind yourself, I'm caught up now. I am not what I used to be, but I am a child of the King, and His royal blood flows through my veins. Praises God. They came out to fight it. They came out to say, this can't be, this is bad. Because they were more concerned with how it happened than that it did happen. Sometimes God will stretch you by doing things in ways that you don't expect. Through people that you don't expect. To bring the miracle that you don't expect. God stretches. In Acts 3 verse 12, Peter saw this opportunity, addressed the crowd. People of Israel, what's so surprising about this and why stare at us as though we made this man walk by our own power of godliness? First, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all of our ancestors, who's brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. He said, it's not us. It's God. And the beautiful thing about seeing God work is that when you pray, it's not a you thing. It's got to be a God thing. Peter and John couldn't do anything for them. They didn't have any money and they didn't have anything themselves. But there was something that said, this is the moment, this is the time. I dare to believe that God is at work. And the lame man, the man who couldn't walk himself, ends up standing beside them as a testimony of the power of God at work. Sometimes God has to stretch us to dare to believe that God will work in my situation. That God will work in my family. That God will work in my finance. The thing about being stretched is it's uncomfortable. The thing about being stretched is it moves me beyond my normal range of motion. And you see, that's what we're going to be talking about. That God wants to move you beyond your normal into God's normal. God wants to move us beyond our natural expectation into a supernatural. And as we stand together this morning, my subject this morning, are you ready for it? Are you ready for God to do something supernatural in your life, in your circumstance, in your situation? Are you ready for God to move in a way that is above and beyond and just kind of explodes what you ever thought could happen? Are you ready for God to stretch you? Because this morning you might be the one who's reaching up and saying, I need something from God. But you may also be the one that God's saying, I want to stretch you to touch somebody else's life. I want to stretch you to touch your neighbor. I want to stretch you to touch your coworker. I want to stretch you to touch your family. I want to move you beyond your prejudices and attitudes. And I want to stretch that thing in you so that you're beyond all of that. On one side or the other, are you ready for it? Are you ready for God to do above and beyond? I'm going to ask you right now if you would just lift your hands to heaven. And would you just make a faith declaration? God, I'm ready. I'm ready for what you want to do. I'm ready for you to stretch me. I'm ready for you to challenge me. I'm ready for you to move in my life. Would you just talk to him right now? Hallelujah. That's it. Go ahead. Talk to him right now. That's it. Come on. There's something that's going to happen here. This is putting our lives in God's hands. In Jesus' name. I didn't intend to end the service like this, but just keep worshiping. Keep talking to God. I just felt this right now, and so I'm going to try and follow what God wants to do. But if you're here today and you've got a need of healing in your life, you need a healing. And right now there's some faith that's reaching out to God. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave your seat. I want you to come and stand here because I feel faith. I feel like God wants to touch somebody right now. This can be your miracle moment. And I want to ask you and invite you to come. All right, anybody else? Because I believe that there's power for a miracle here right now. I said, just come and stand here. So anybody else? Going to take a moment. I don't want you to miss what God's going to do. We're not just going to talk about it. We're going to see God do some things right now. You might be here and you've never received the baptism of the Spirit and God's power in your life. But you say, Pastor, I believe I can have it now. I want you to step out of your seat too. Come on, God's here to do something in you. There's going to be some people come and pray with you. We're going to believe God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray, and then following that, we're going to pray for those that need healing. But let's pray together right now. Father, in your name, we release the power of heaven in this place. Lord, we pray your